What if they find out I don't have all the answers?
Hello, friend. Thanks for pressing play on this episode of the Brass Tacks of Podcasting Wisdom series. You can find more podcasting wisdom and resources at brassybroad.com and podcasting tutorials on my YouTube channel, Jen Eads Brassy. I'll have links in the show notes. Now let's get into it.
If you wait to start your podcast until you feel comfortable or until you know it all, you will never start. There is no test. Don't wait for permission. Turn on the microphone, press record, share what you know, and publish. Rinse and repeat. Nobody wants to listen to a smarty pants know-it-all pontificate about how much they know. Friends, that is a total snooze fest. And this impodcaster syndrome goes beyond subject matter. I'm just talking about podcasting in general. Maybe you feel like you don't fully understand how your recording software works or how to put a story together or get guests or conduct an interview. It's through diving in and doing the work that you become the expert. I've had tech and equipment failures, had to ask guests for a redo on recording interviews, and a plethora of other podcasting failures. But because I've done the work, I can share what I've learned with you in this podcast series and hopefully save you some of the heartbreak and headache. In this episode, I'm going to share three ways to move past that nasty impodcaster syndrome. You know, like imposter syndrome, except for podcasters. Yeah, I know you're with me. Here are some ways that I've worked through my imposter syndrome. And let me say right here, right now, this is ongoing. It has never completely gone away from me. And as long as I'm willing to explore new ground and try new things, it never will go away. I'm no expert, but here are some tools that have worked for me. Tell your audience up front that you don't have all the answers. It's that simple. Take the pressure off yourself. At no point in my show introduction do I tell my audience that I have all the answers. No, I tell them that I'm a curious girl full of questions. That gets me off the hook. They know up front that if they want all the answers from me, this is not the show for them. I started this podcast as a way to get answers to my own burning questions. It's a vehicle for my continuing education, and my friends get to come along for the ride. It's like a Cadillac of curiosity. Hop in. Prepare. Do your homework. The Brassy Broadcast started out as an interview show. Research your guest or your subject matter. Be prepared. Make an outline or have a few questions or bullet points written down before you go in to record an episode. You don't have to script everything, but give yourself a roadmap. Listening to or reading previous interviews that your guest has done gives you insight. Don't ask them the same questions the same way they've been asked in other interviews. I've even referenced my guests' other interviews or articles when teeing up a question for them. It shows that you've done your homework. Here's an example. I listened to your interview with Miss Podcast Host, and you were talking about how you help CEOs overcome imposter syndrome. I'm a singer-songwriter, and so were many of my listeners. As we work to muster the courage to go on stage and bare our souls in a new song we've written, how do we shut that inner voice up that tells us that we don't deserve to be there on that stage singing that song? See, it's that easy. That's how you do that. Something else to keep in mind, and for me, this is the most important. You offer a unique perspective on the subject matter. The lens of your own personal experience is more valuable than you think. It's the secret sauce in your podcast that makes it flavorful and unique. Let's just talk about the subject of love. Most of the love songs I love are written from the lens of heartbreak. I Can't Make You Love Me, written by Mike Reed and Alan Shamblin, and recorded by Bonnie Raitt, is not coming from a subject matter expert view on how to have a successful relationship. It's from the gut-wrenching, failed relationship, cry your eyes out perspective. It's straight up failure. It's still devastating every time I listen to it. And then we go to the opposite end of the love spectrum. Does the world really need another silly love song? According to Wikipedia, Paul McCartney wrote silly love songs, along with his wife Linda, in response to critics that accused him of only writing lightweight, silly love songs. Apparently, the world still loved silly love songs in 1976 because the song went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Now, let's not forget, Paul McCartney is a Beatle. He's one of the most influential musicians and songwriters in one of the most influential bands in the history of music. And critics were calling him out. So if critics will call out Paul McCartney, there's a good chance there's going to be some critic or little troll that's going to try to call you out. And it's okay. You're in good company. Tell your audience you don't have all the answers. Prepare and do your homework. And then present your content through the lens of your own unique experience. These three actions will help you work through your impodcaster syndrome. And the critics and trolls can suck it. If you found even the smallest little nugget of wisdom in this episode, please share it with a friend that needs to hear it. Don't be stingy. They'll think you're a total rock star. And if you're ready for some one-to-one help on your podcasting journey, email me at jen@brassybroad.com. That's it. Now get out in the world and do some good.